Welcome to the Inverted Wingback Podcast on Excuse to Pass Sideways. This is a podcast set up to make you slightly ticked off or upset over our slightly pretentious football takes, banter, and facts. We essentially like to pretend you know more about football than your raggedy friends. My name is Peter. With me is none other than my favorite co-host, well, my new co-host, to be frank, Sam. But on the show today, we have one of our favorite people in the world, slash Thunderbolt Mama, slash King of the Boys. Maybe this is the weekend, everybody's making noise about King of the Boys, but we'll allow her to introduce herself. Over to you.
Hi, guys. My name is Kemi Yusuf. Do not take whatever Peter said. Don't take it seriously. I am not king of any boys. He named me Thunderbolt Mama. I still don't know what it means, but I'm happy to be here again. It was fun the last time.
For the record, Thunderbolt Mama just essentially means that she has power. People like Zeus bow down to her. Right, sir?
Exactly. I was going to say, you are saying you are not king of the boys. You are. You are everything, auntie. I mean, we were just having a conversation here of how you are going to show me the way. Keep asking from Thunderbolt Mama.
You guys, let's focus. We can talk about football.
Okay, we'll focus. Okay, fine. Speaking about waxing strong, let's begin with Manchester City versus Arsenal from this past weekend. There was a lot of football this past weekend, but I think the most dominant talking point came from the City-Arsenal game. Arsenal trashed Man City 5-0, right?
Eh? Arsenal trashed Bao.
Sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because of the pity I have for Arsenal, look at what my subconscious is doing. Sorry, Manchester City trashed Arsenal 5-0, right? The XG stats for that game were more hilarious. Arsenal was only able to generate 0.11 in terms of XG. If you break that down into percentages, I don't even know where to start from. But let's not go down that path first. Let's, first of all, Kemi, this is your question. Do we assume that, okay, so they've lost 3-3, right? They've not been able to score a goal. They're at the bottom of the table, pretty much after 3 games, right? But the fixture list sort of gets better from here for them. They have Norwich next. Even though they lost to... okay, I know they lost to Brentford at the start of the season. If the lineup says Norwich... mind you, they lost to Brentford and also were able to trash West Brom at home.
West Brom's team B. I'm not sure because yesterday I was so sure it would be, you know, Norwich losing 3-3 as well, full ground, and then Arsenal will have to show that they are, you know, superior to Norwich. But Norwich did not lose yet. Even if, you know, they were horrendous against Brentford, yes. The Chelsea one, I understood. The Man City one, honestly, I understand, you know, getting a red card, but like, it was already 2-0 at that time. City were already cruising. City did not even have to leave the first gear. So I'm thinking, maybe because it's Man City, you know, they're superior. But I'm trying to look at Arsenal's fixtures for...
Oh, I have the fixtures here.
Okay, so after Brentford, they face Burnley. And then there's the
Carabao after Norwich, you mean? There's Burnley, yeah. There's Burnley, then there's Norwich, then the Carabao Cup, yeah.
Then the first Spurs. Then they will beat Wimbledon, right? Because I think Arteta should take Carabao Cup seriously. That's probably their only chance for silverware this season. Not probably. That's their only chance for silverware. They're not going to win the FA Cup. Whatever chance they used to win the FA Cup that time, that's finished. They're not going to win the FA Cup, so they should focus on Carabao. So they will beat Wimbledon. Burnley, I watched Burnley today against Leeds. I'm not sure Arsenal can pull it in there. I'm not sure. But Arsenal should be able to beat Norwich at the Emirates. So maybe 4 points out of 6. I don't know how they'll do to Spurs. I'm not even sure they're going to be able to score against Spurs yet. But let's focus on the first two. So they'll beat Wimbledon, maybe draw with Burnley, and then beat Norwich. If they don't beat Norwich, they should probably sack Arteta.
So you're giving him... Sam had earlier said, like, he had said he felt like after five games, if there's no, and I think he meant five games in the league, there was no progress. And that particular game is actually the fifth game is against Burnley. They should sack him. So are you on board with that as well?
No, not really. Okay, Norwich didn't actually win yesterday, so they're on equal terms. They should be Norwich. My issue, okay, Norwich has scored though. It was a penalty shot, so let's not count it. My issue is they faced Chelsea and then they faced Man City. So let's subtract those two. They weren't going to beat them anyway. They had a record against Chelsea. Yeah, they had a decent record against Chelsea in recent times. But, I mean, we've seen Tuchel go. They weren't going to beat Chelsea anyway. So let's just forget that. I did not ever think they did not stand a chance against Man City. So I'm giving them, I was already saying after game week three, you know, we'll start counting for Arteta. Although everybody expected them to at least get a point against Brentford, you know, except me. I totally expected Brentford to win and they did. But no, Arsenal fans were expecting something.
All right, so Man City has managed to beat two teams back to back, three games, one defeat. We saw them beat these teams pretty convincingly. But it has a sense of a false result, especially since we know, for one, they were chasing Harry Kane, they didn't get Harry Kane. They moved to Cristiano Ronaldo and everything switched it pretty much. We'll get to this later, but in pretty much hours, I think overnight, the entire narrative changed. Are these actual results for City, considering how they're playing, how the team looks, or these are like false results in terms of flashes in the pan?
Well, so if I'm being honest, right, I would say these are actual results. I would say City had it very easy. I'll give instances against the Arsenal game, for example. City had won the game from the first minute without necessarily breaking a sweat. So we're actually yet to see City play a competitive game. Well, aside from the Tottenham game, Arsenal set up with Arteta as the base of the midfield. Pretty much City were always going to have a run at it and score tons of goals, whether or not the
red card. Xhaka?
Yeah. Yeah, with Xhaka at the base of the midfield. I think that was a terrible idea. Now, City was always going to score tons of goals in that game with that tactic. So I'm saying my point is basically great performance, yes, but we really cannot say. Personally, I felt like City had it easy because it's Arsenal and then it's also Norwich, right? But then I also feel like on a very good day, City has the tendencies to pull off those kind of crazy results from the bag.
Okay, cool. All right. Now, Kemi, I think both Kemi and I'll expect both Kemi and Sam to contribute to this question. Gabriel Jesus looks incredibly happy playing out on the left, even though we know by designation he's meant to be a striker, right? And Pep said as much, look, this guy has requested to play out on the left. And of course, Ferran Torres is playing through the middle. But is this sustainable? Because we know how Gabriel Jesus gets.
I don't think it is. Which is why they wanted to get Kane in the first place. I don't think it is. I'm not going to say I'm wowed by anything Man City have done because they have the quality to do so. Only City can have the option to rotate the way Pep does. Only City, if for example, Gabriel Jesus is in another club where they don't have any other striker, you think the manager there will tell him, yes, you can play on the wings, do whatever you like? They're not going to do any of that. I'm not sure it's sustainable because, if he decides to play on the wing, so are we saying Sterling is going to be on the bench for him? Or will Mahrez always come on from the bench? How is it going to work? And there's Grealish now. If they successfully buy Kane maybe next summer, how exactly is the arrangement? I thought they wanted Jesus to leave. So I'm not sure. I think Pep will still rotate his team, not even just personnel-wise, the formation that he tweaks and stuff like that. I don't think Jesus will be on the wings for long. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Sam, what do you think?
Well, I also don't think he would be on the wings for so long because, I mean, they are so stacked on the flank, right? What they do not have, what one department I know they are not really stacked is through the middle. Even if you see the way he plays, even from the flanks, he drifts into the middle, then goes back to the flank. I feel like eventually he would always have to go back to the middle. And I just feel like he chose to play on the flank, right? More basically to just boost his confidence, because he has finally broken his duck. He hasn't scored in a while. So it's really exciting to see him score. But eventually I feel like he's just going to go back to the middle. Because if I don't even see Ferran pulling up.
As the nine, right? If you notice that there's more space for him in the middle. So that's why I think he's enjoying it so much. But eventually, he will still go out to where he's supposed to be, because that's the 15-minute striker. And that's the only striker they have.
Okay, so if you think where he's supposed to be, that sounds like he's meant to be on the bench, if they're going to get another striker. Because I think, to be honest with you, no serious team can expect to mount a title challenge with Gabriel Jesus leading the line. So I can understand why he's on the left. The whole idea of manipulating space, dragging people and defenders out of position, and all of that. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right? Speaking about waiting and seeing, if you remember, this is a Sam question. We made so much noise about how incompetent we felt like Frank Lampard was, and then he got fired. And they hired this German guy who's ruthless. He's shown himself to be ruthless. Thomas Tuchel has won the Champions League, and by all accounts, in every ramification, they look like their title credentials are going to be really, really serious. They drew with having been reduced to 10 men, like about after 50 or something minutes, right? They drew with Liverpool, reduced Liverpool to pot shots from distance, more or less. Yes, Liverpool's XG was really high, like 2.4 something, But at the same time, we were able to score from one. I mean, they pretty much had a bunch of chances on the break, even if some poor decisions from Kai Havertz and a couple of other guys. And this Lukaku's best efforts, right? They still were able to convert and kept, Liverpool at bay. Now, what is this thing that allows people to get tied up? Is it because Frank was a top legend? What is it that made people look down on Thomas Tuchel being hired? And even right now, there are a lot of clubs, or rather fans and pundits, who are overlooking Chelsea's title credentials and the work that Thomas Tuchel has done. Why is that?
To be honest, I just feel like Chelsea fans are weirdly sentimental. Weirdly sentimental about a whole lot of things, about their players and about Super Frankie, especially people who have played for Chelsea. Trust me, if Tuchel was a Chelsea player, I don't think he's going to get this as much as he's doing now. If you'd remember, I think beginning of the game, right? I told a friend of mine who is a Chelsea fan, and I said, to be honest, right, the best Liverpool is going to get from this game is a draw. That's the best Liverpool was going to get. And then when you made that tweet about having to know what a manager is, right? At that point in time, I already figured that, you know what? This game is done. Liverpool were definitely not going to win it, because Tuchel is one of the most compact managers currently in the whole of Europe. And I don't know. I really don't know why. If you even notice, he signed just one player so far, just Lukaku. So he's basically working with
the players, same squad.
So he's actually performing magic with what another person has not been able to do in so little time. So I actually feel like he should be respected more. I know eventually a lot of Chelsea fans will just grow out of their sentiment. I know eventually a whole lot of their sentimental decisions are beginning to come out to light. The whole Jorginho for Ballon d'Or is already looking like a failed agenda. So eventually with time, even the Tuchel matter would become like a failed agenda. When he mounts a very, very severe title challenge, I feel like he's going to be respected more.
Okay, cool. Speaking about respect, people don't respect the rules of the game, because yesterday, Reece James pretty much made a goal line clearance, he denied a goal scoring opportunity with his hand. And I know that there was a lot of sentiment like, oh my God, it was harsh and all of that. But the rules of the game legit say the ball goes off a player's arm in the build-up.
To be honest, to Peter, I don't even think that was harsh.
Okay, no, I'm saying that was harsh. Oh, it wasn't harsh. Okay, cool. Because I think it was me. Pardon?
Because
only Chelsea fans think it was harsh.
If we're being honest, right?
Yeah.
If we're being honest, Peter, right? He's the last man. He's the last man, right? The ball hit his legs first. He made his arms bigger, popped the ball, and then he bent his elbows to like bring the. So he stopped the goal. He could have just as well just.
It was like he was about to play volleyball. It was like exactly. He was about to play volleyball.
Yes, so he could have just catch the ball and just throw it. But the whole idea of saying that, it should have been a yellow card, I mean, it shouldn't have. It shouldn't. I don't think it was a harsh. I think that is what it is. It's a red card. I would understand a whole lot of their sentiments when they say that, you know what, some of the yellow cards that were dished were harsh. If that was the conversation, yes, I would agree, because there were times where I felt like Liverpool players should be booked too, but they weren't. But aside that, I think it was a pure, clear red card.
Okay. Kemi, what do you think?
Yes, it wasn't harsh. Those are the rules. Rules are rules. Do you remember when Manchester United lost to Fulham?
In 2009
or 2008? 2-0. Scholes got the red card because he stopped Bobby Zamora's goal bound.
Actually, that's true. With his hand, actually, yes.
So this, yes, with his hand. So that was the exact same thing that happened, right? And 2009. So if this happened 12 years ago, it was a red then. Why won't it be a red now? It's the same thing.
No, I think an argument against that could be. And I can make it, yes, I could be. You know, the rules have changed and evolved so much between now and then. However, the rules actually currently, it didn't change. Yeah. It didn't change much. You're right about that. Okay. So we'll end part one there, right? Those of us who remember, and this includes Sam, if you remember, please connect with us on social media. We're at the IWB podcast everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can also send us an email, especially if you want to rant about whether or not you think that was a handball or if it was a harsh red card for Rhys James. Send us an email at, it's actually the iwbpodcast@gmail.com. That's the iwbpodcast@gmail.com. So just send us an email, ask, let us know if you think that was a red card, if it was too harsh. Also, let us know what you think about Arteta, how long Arteta has, if you think that City's form is sustainable, especially with their current setup and their personnel. When we come back in part two, we'll talk about both the United game and a couple of controversial decisions from that game as well, and then the Barcelona.
What's it like being an African woman? Sometimes it's pain.
And at that point, I just thought of the injustice of it all. Because I just felt if perhaps my mother was being heard, perhaps if anyone listened to her, perhaps if they had checked what was wrong with her at that moment, probably my brother would still be alive.
Sometimes it's the gut-wrenching experience of sexual harassment.
I've had other men expose themselves to me. Once a man stopped me to ask me the time as I was getting into the metro in Cairo, and I looked at my watch to tell him the time, and I realized that he was not only exposing himself to me, he was masturbating as he was asking me this. This is just fucking disgusting.
And other times, it's a constant fight to get the world to see your value.
As a Black women, especially, it doesn't matter how many credentials we have, how much this, how much that. It seems like we're often getting looked over and passed over for jobs.
Hey everyone, I'm Aisha Salahuddin, host and producer of I Like Girls. This is a storytelling podcast about the experiences of African women and how these experiences shape our lives. On I Like Girls, you hear a variety of stories from women across the continent. By the way, it's not entirely gloomy. Being an African woman also means kindness.
I think my feminism is about extending kindness to women regardless of their anything, their ethnicity, their race, their whatevers.
It means happiness, success, and self-love.
I don't let them their comments bother me anymore. I just know that all I owe myself is, you know, a healthy, happy body. And it's not really anybody's decision what that looks like.
On every episode of the podcast, we'll take you on a journey into the unanticipated ways life impacts African women. I Like Girls drops on August 10th. Catch us wherever you get your podcast. You can also visit ilikegirls.co for information on how to subscribe to our newsletter. Okay, I'll catch you all later.
Welcome back to the Inverted Wingback podcast. I'm still here with Sam as well as with Kemi. Remember to follow us on social media. We're at the IWB podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also send us an email at the IWB podcast at gmail.com. Do not forget, it's not too late for you guys to join our fantasy mini league. We have a bunch of gifts that we can share. Some very, very cool merch that we're going to share at the end of the season. I think currently, if I look at the first screen, I can't see Sam's name there. Shame on him. But you can
to
just look
defense,
out for...
my defense, I forgot to set my FPL team this week. Please. I'm going through a lot right now. I'm house hunting in Lagos. Right. It's equivalent to being in the Lions Den.
Uh-huh. If you say so. You can look out for the auto-join link in the episode description, right? It's the IWB podcast mini league. If last I remember, we had about 40 something people in the competition. That's really, really cool. So tell your friends to tell your friend or their enemies. Let them come and show their skills. Let's laugh at them. Like some people were laughing at me this weekend. Let's just quickly jump into part two of the podcast. Now, this one is a bit fresh. We watched the United versus Wolves game, which is probably worse than Birds of Prey or anything you can think about. Like, think of the worst movie you've seen in recent times. Twice as bad. United were able to overcome Wolverhampton Wanderers by 1-0 away from home. And then they set a new away undefeated record in the Premier League. I think this is about 28 undefeated games away from home, breaking the Invincibles 27 unbeaten streak away from home. But, of course, as boring as this game was, I guess the biggest talk around United this past week has been Manchester United has made a huge romantic move and they re-signed Cristiano Ronaldo. My first question for this year, Kemi, is why?
I have no idea. I don't know. Is that... Some people say nostalgia. Some people say for the business, like the Glazer family just thought, oh, this will boost our shares. And they're right. It did. It made more money since they announced that they signed him. We scored over, I said this on a space, I think yesterday, that we scored over 110 goals last season. Goals are not the problem. Everybody knows what the problem is. Everyone and their dog know what the problem is. Signing Ronaldo was just like nostalgia. Maybe, okay, there's a moral boosting, but all the players are
posting to see him.
United, all this Rashford and Lingard and Bo, you know, legend. They watched him train when they were kids. So it's good to see him again. They want to impress. Maybe it will get everybody to step up. Maybe. But when it comes to tactical arrangement and all those things, I honestly don't know what Ronaldo's presence is going to do. We're already scoring. So what difference will he make? We'll probably score. Okay, there's something. He will score against Arsenal because he loves Arsenal.
Sam? She just talked about nostalgia. She just talked about the whole idea of, oh my God, feel good factor, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is, United needs, like, you know how if you go to Las Vegas, there are neon flashing lights all over the place. I don't think there's a brighter neon flashing light in the middle than the one in the middle of the United midfield, screaming for, at the very least, someone who is capable of holding the ball for more than 30 seconds and using his brain to calmly make decisions and either win the ball back and redistribute it or do something. What is amusing is for about a decade now, United has been looking for a capable, competent defensive midfielder. Well, let's say the first 6 months of Matic's United career, he was good in the first 6 months under Mourinho.
Well, to be honest, I don't know. You really don't know why certain teams make certain weird decisions.
I mean, we've seen tons of other teams have their own issues. But I just feel like maybe the management or Manchester United have some really good faith in McFred, and they're really hoping that something good will come out from both of them or one of them. One of them.
That can't be.
Oh my God. That can't be it. I don't think that's what it is.
Somebody has blackmailed somebody here. That's what it is. Because which top team in the world will start Fred? Which team?
Nobody.
Tell me what. Exactly.
So Fred will not.
Maybe Arsenal.
Fred might not.
Nah, they won't start Fred.
Even that one. No, they won't start Fred. Arsenal won't start Fred. Is that bad?
Arsenal won't start Fred. Who is better than Fred in that Arsenal?
Everyone's better than Fred. What are you saying?
That's a lie. People are wicked liars.
They have Sambi now. Sambi.
Sambi who?
What's Lokonga doing?
Lokonga, is he not like...
Sambi Lokonga now.
Please. I beg. Who is Lokonga?
That Lokonga is
because he's from Belgium and he can dance Makosa. I beg. Please.
Party after party, Uncle.
Okay. Actually, yeah. Party. Yeah. Sorry, you're right.
Party after party. Yeah.
Party after party. Yeah. That's true. Sorry. I take it back. I apologize, Arsenal fans. Please forgive me. Right? So you're saying essentially Fred needs to go. I think everybody needs to. I think we hosted a Twitter space conversation the other night, and we listed a myriad of midfield defenders, defense midfielders rather, from Tchouaméni at Monaco to Bissouma at Brighton. We talked about even Ruben Neves, the guy who was in the middle of the pitch, controlling the game alongside João Moutinho today. It's like, could they not see what he was doing? And then,
I think we mentioned
someone else. I can't remember who the fourth. Oh, Declan Rice. Declan Rice, who is too expensive and all that. But for the love of, if the problem is money, clearly it's not that big of a problem if they could throw that amount of money on a 36-year-old who can't travel to United States of America for one or two reasons. Like, it's just... the decision-making is really, really odd. And I think it brings me to my next question, Kemi. If he keeps on making, because I feel like right now, there are no excuses. You have a team that has Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba, Cavani, Cristiano Ronaldo. He has Greenwood, who's in excellent form. He has Rashford. He has Martial. He has Daniel James. You have Varane. You have Maguire. You have Wan-Bissaka. You have Jadon Sancho. I'm not even mentioning Sancho's name, right? There are no excuses anymore. You either need to win some silverware or get out. Now, the problem is, what do you think is going to take, right, to get Ole in trouble in terms of him losing his job? Because it feels like, okay, there's no long-term plan. This is a short-term signing, Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay, fine. We're not getting a DM so far. What are you going to do about it? What are your plans? If you don't win, should you be rewarded with more time, or it's time to put the axe to his head?
I think this is a do-or-die season for Ole. Apart from the DM issue, which is very glaring, I think the board or, you know, the Glazer family have given him everything, almost everything that he wants. And you can tell that Ole is the kind of person that likes to be patient to sign whoever he wants. So if he wants Rice, if he can't get Rice now, he'd prefer to wait till next season to try for Rice again instead of looking for another option, right?
Was there time for that?
There's no time. I'm hoping that the performance today showed the need for a DM, a nervous like DM. Like, at this point, United fans will take anybody. Nobody's even choosy. We'll take anybody. Just get a DM, right? Because today was, oh God, that game was so painful to watch. I can't believe I sat through 90 minutes of it, but I did. And everybody saw, we all saw the same thing. Progression from defense to attack. The middle was not like there was no midfield. Bruno Fernandes is suddenly playing as a center forward. Why? Is it that? Oh God.
Anyway, the summary, I don't want to complain.
I'm not going to complain. The summary is, if he doesn't win any silverware this season, he has to go. Like, there's no excuse. He has to win something. Getting to semi-final, getting to final, he has to win something. Hopefully not Europa. Just win something. That's not okay. Europa. Maybe FA Cup.
Thank you, FA
Cup might get him one more season. Maybe.
There's a crater in midfield. So, I mean, for starters.
Yeah.
I can just imagine Chelsea licking their lips at the prospect of playing this United squad, this specific United squad.
It's five at the back that he does, and nothing will happen. Those three in middle will just have fun, and Lukaku might not score, but someone else will, and we'll lose.
It's night for United. Yeah, okay, cool. So let us know, guys, what do you think? This is more than enough reason for United to win some form of trophy, or this is not enough yet for United to win a trophy? Remember, it's at the IWB podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Of course, look out for the polls that we normally put out around these topics. Let's quickly jump to the next topic, which is Barcelona winning against Getafe by 2-1. Messi who? Because Memphis is doing everything so far. He's pretty much carrying that club on his back at this point, right? He scored in two of the games, giving an assist in one of them. And he looks like he's that guy that we saw at PSV before he came to United and, you know, went down before going back to Lyon and discovering form. I asked someone during the space that we hosted the other night, right? Is this not a good thing? Ayola, who's a good friend of the show and pretty much the principality when it comes to Barcelona matters. It was painful to see Messi leave, right, Sam? But it also seems like it's a good thing that he left because now the responsibility is distributed around the team much more equitably. And we're seeing people step up to the plate. For example, Memphis. So is it not, in the long run, I know, of course, Messi had to leave at some point. And yes, it was a disgraceful thing he left in the way he did. But hey, the way things are looking, Barcelona could just, you know, pull out, in quote, a surprise with Memphis leading the line. Yeah?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think when Messi left, right, I mean, there was a huge hole. And to be honest, it's quite open for everybody or any player to step up. One of the major problems that Barcelona players have had in the past is the whole idea of leaving it to Messi. Sometimes De Jong. I actually feel... I pity those two players because I know the major part of last season and they were the major creative outlets for Barcelona. But now, seeing Messi go, right, I mean, a whole lot of the players are knowing that, they're realizing that, you know what, this guy is not here anymore. And if we actually don't step up, we might end up not winning anything. Like I said the previous episode, I think Barcelona is going to be a major contender. And regardless, I don't see anybody winning the La Liga aside from Barcelona or Real Madrid this season.
Okay, cool. I remember you insisted that there isn't going to be a third force, anything happening. You felt like Barcelona or Madrid was going to win the league. But let's switch away from, we're not going to talk about the La Liga title. We're going to talk about a small dispute that's going on within the club, right? Alex Moriba, who is pretty much one of the most promising prospects to have come out of La Masia, played pretty well under Koeman last season, right? Which was like his breakout season. But then again, it seems like there have been a few disagreements between his team or his guys and the club entirely. He wants more money. He wants to be the most paid, the highest paid youngster at the club, even more than Ansu Fati, the likes of Ansu Fati, the likes of Ricky Puig, the likes of Pedri and all of that. And the club have said, look, we don't have enough money. As you can see, we're struggling to pay the wages currently and to cut down the wages. And they've said, you know what, you can go. However, there was a conversation that was held with Tottenham Hotspurs for him to switch. Then he turned that down before eventually there was talk of him going to RB Leipzig. But Leipzig is unwilling to meet Barcelona's asking price. So he's been frozen out of the team at all levels. Now, the debate has been, is this not unfair? The young man knows his worth, so he's pushing to be paid what he's worth. And other people are saying he's quite an inconsiderate young lad. Can't he see what's going on? It's quite selfish for him to be demanding so much. Where do you stand in this debate, Kevin?
I think Barcelona... enable bad behavior because it is bad behavior. I don't know why he thinks he has the right to demand for more money. He's not even a spectacular player, right? I haven't seen anything that he has done that would say, oh, yes, this guy deserves a raise. And even if he does deserve a raise, Barcelona doesn't even have the money to give you. So he should sit down, be a good boy, and eat his food.
Wow. So harsh. That's so harsh. You see why we call you Thunderbolt's mama? No time for all of this, apparently. Sam, what do you think?
Well, I think, well, personally, I think he's a greedy lad. Seeing that he's what he barely played 10 games in the previous season, and he's asking for wages in excess of 100k per week. I mean, he's really not proved anything. But like I said, as a player, he has valued himself. And I always say something, the same advice I give to my friends generally in their place of work. If you feel like you deserve more, then you should get out and go and get it. There are only two ways of knowing your value. Either your present place of employment or an employer outside. I don't think anybody or any club thinks he's worth that amount of money that he's asking for. I don't think any club outside Barcelona would pay him that amount of money he's asking for.
Has any club made a bid for him?
Yeah.
Sorry? Has any club made a bid for him?
Yeah, so they're in talk to him. They are both in talk to him, but they haven't exactly made official bids just yet. Mostly because talk says that, you know, RB Leipzig are trying to save money. You know, they've been trying. They're losing Sabitzer to Bayern Munich, and they're trying to find a replacement for him. But they're also unwilling to spend too much money on his transfer fee, right? So that's pretty much where it is. And unfortunately for them, Tottenham is actually able to offer more, which would be Barcelona's preferred destination for the young lad because, hey, of course, they get more money offloading from the books, blah, 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 and all that. But the young lad is saying, nope, he wants to go to Leipzig only. So it's a mess. And I feel bad that he's already, because what's going to happen to him is at the age of 18, he's going to get a horrible reputation, whether he likes it or not. And I don't think I don't think it's fair to, you know, define him by this and this alone. It's really, 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 really sad.
I don't know who is advising him, but he needs to get new advisors.
Like Harry Kane. Harry Kane's advice is one of the worst advice.
That one should suck his agent. He should suck
his brother and his father.
Yes, he should suck all of them.
Personal. All of them should get that.
Yes.
They should get that. Yes. Okay. Speaking about getting out, finally, Lionel Messi has made his debut for PSG. They're currently leading by 2-0. About 3 or 4 minutes left in the game against Stade Reims. He came on finally and he hasn't scored because Mbappe, who is ideally supposed to be a PSG player by the end of the summer, but might not be a PSG player at the end of the summer, is on his way out, if reports are to be believed, based on the offer that Madrid has made. Where do you think he ends up, guys?
Madrid.
So he's going, definitely. If you were in PSG shoes, what would you do? Would you allow him go, or you take the money now and let him live for free?
I'll sell him.
That's really good.
That's like exactly for someone that will be free next summer. Please,
he can go, Abby.
He can go.
Okay, all right.
I read that they want to buy Haaland, but Haaland is not for sale.
I don't think Haaland is for sale. No, it's not going to happen. Especially not so late in the transfer window.
It's not. I read that the Dortmund president said they're not the bank. So he's not for sale. And there's no go back for Moiskin. But they have Icardi. Who? I don't know what he is, but he's there. So they'll be fine. They have Messi now. There's Messi, there's Neymar. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine, Abby. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. If you're listening, let us know what you think. They won't win the Champions League. You don't think they'll win the Champions League?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow. Who do you think is going to win Champions League?
Honestly, I don't know.
When I said it last week, some individual said my mouth was smelling.
Yeah, the same individual. Excuse me. excuse me, Mr. Prophet, you're the same individual who claimed that a certain
It's okay.
We can dredge up your record.
Off your mic.
And off bring your it up mic. For the world to see, Mr. Man.
Off your mic. I told you you should give me B for effort. At least I saw Manchester. I did not know it was United.
Please. Okay, calm down. All right, if you're listening, let us know. Where do you think? Two things. Do you think Moriba's decisions are the right decisions? He should go and push for what he wants, or Barcelona is being a bit too harsh for him? Also, let us know if you think Mbappe is going to end up a Madrid player, and if you were in PSG's shoes, you would accept a bid for £180 million this summer, or wait for the guy to leave for free next summer. We'll be jumping off and ending part two right here. When we come back in part three, we're going to continue our series of debates regarding what our predictions for the upcoming, it's not upcoming anymore, the current EPL season are. Last week, we had a conversation about relegation teams. I'm going to quickly find our poll so that we can read out the responses we got from everyone. And then we will jump to thinking about who we think is going to end up in the top six this season. Please don't go anywhere. Stick with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to part three of the Inverted Wingback podcast. Still hanging here with the uber cool Kemi and the almost as cool Samaila. He doesn't have any complaints. That's dope.
I wanted to insult you.
If I didn't know better, I would say you don't love me. But you love me. I know you love me. It's fine.
What? No. No, I do not love you, Peter. Please.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. So before we jump into... All right, I apologize. I love you too, though. So before we jump into our predictions, right? I want to remind everyone, remember that the IWB Fantasy League is still going on. You can join. It's not too late yet. There's still enough time for you to catch up with the table toppers. I think Kemi is really high in that league, from what I checked. Abby?
No, I'm not. I don't think I am.
Yes, you joined and went straight to like number two or something odd like that. I was so surprised.
Check my FPL. Yeah, so I don't know. I haven't checked. It's been a terrible game for everybody,
yeah.
And just for me. So
I can't see Samaila, like I said. Sam, where are you? Sam is all the way in number 20. Oh no. Anyway,
everybody in that league will suck.
Don't talk like this. The game is The game week isn't over yet. Bonus points and all that.
You should have managed by now.
All right, okay. Cool. We'll check much later. So you can join and prove Kemi wrong in terms of whether or not she sucks, as well as show Samaila just how far away he is from success as a prophet. Oh, wow. People are laughing at him already. I mean, because if he's a prophet, he should be able to tell who's going to have a fantastic weekend. But here we are, guys. Oprah, that Oprah meme, where she's doing? Mm-hmm. Insert here. Sam, I believe you have some information for us, the results from the polls we put out last week, right? Am I right or wrong?
Yes, you are right.
Okay, hit us with the good stuff.
Okay, so we asked which three players
you could get rid of at Manchester United. 14% said the squad is okay. 57% said Fred and two other guys. 29% said other guys. One of the person who said other guys mentioned Lingard, Jones, and somebody else. And he said, definitely not Fred. I don't know why the person said so, but I know Kemi would disagree with this individual. We also asked, everyone seems to want Arteta gone, but who can possibly replace him at this point? 20% want team manager. No other than Antonio Conte. 20% want Graham Potter, and 13% said someone else. I really don't know why someone wants someone else, but okay. Also, we asked what team we thought would win the La Liga. 55% said surely Barca or Madrid. 36% said Atletico Madrid. And the final question was the three teams. We asked about three teams who a lot of the listeners thought were going to be relegated.
All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to quickly jump into who do we think will end up in the top six eventually, in no particular order. Sam, we'll go first with you, then we'll go to Kemi. Who do you think is going to end up? And then I'll say mine, of course, but who do you guys think will end up in top six? Sam, go. Hit me.
All right, in no particular order, Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester United, Tottenham and Leicester City.
I agree with Sam. The two Manchester clubs, Liverpool, who make up the fourth team? Again, Chelsea, right? Those, to me, are top four. Then Spurs and Leicester make top six.
Okay. So mine is just a little bit different. I feel it's going to be it's going to be Chelsea, City, Liverpool, then Manchester United, then Tottenham and West Ham. Those are the six I feel will be in the top six. Of course, it's up for debate, and this is where we want to hear from you listeners. Let us know your top six. You have the handles at the IWBB podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Having said all of that, let's quickly jump to our start of the week. Our start of the week is an interesting one. Sam, let me catch you again. I'm sure you'll be able to tell. So three players, right? Only three players in history of Premier League have played in both 2005-2006 and then 2021-2022. That's the season, right? Only three players. I can give you a clue for one of them. It's very, very easy. A clue for one of them is he just got signed. We've spoken about him on this podcast, in fact. Right? He played in the Premiership in 2005-2006. Okay, so that's the first one. Do you know the other two? They played in 2005-2006, and they've already played, or they're going to play. In fact, they've actually already played in 2021-2022.
Well.
Just think of the oldest. Another clue is to think of the oldest, the old guys. They've been around so long.
I'm hitting.
Nope.
There's no place. Sorry. You guys, I'm tired. Sorry.
It's fine.
Answer. I don't know, Peter. I don't know. I give up.
Okay, fine. The answers are James Milner and Mark Noble.
Milner was right in my place.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah, remember I said old guys, yeah?
Yeah, I know Milner is an OG, but I didn't really think he was an OG like that.
He was a young winger for Leeds. Pretty much played everywhere. Leeds, Man City, Newcastle, Liverpool now. Okay, guys, let's talk about our pop culture plug section of the week. Sam, let's be good hosts. Kemi, did you watch? What did you listen to? And what did you read that you'd like to recommend to us?
What did I read? Last thing I read was The Athletic write-up of Varane, I think.
Oh, okay.
there's a Ronaldo write-up I'm supposed to read, but I don't have time for that yet. The next thing, okay, no, sorry, it's not the Varane thing. I read an article about possible jersey numbers for Cristiano Ronaldo. I read that. I'm not sure it counts.
The Athletic as well?
No, not the Athletic. I think something goes. It's 900 goals or something.
Okay.
Then what have I listened to? I haven't been listening to podcasts lately because of the issue I have on my phone. But okay. Music. I've been listening to Lagos because someone has forced it on my head. So.
Which? Made in Lagos. Okay, that's the re-release, the deluxe album.
Yeah,
or
the old one. Album. The deluxe album. And the Coldplay just released it. Not Coldplay, sorry. One probably just released the album, so I've been listening to it. What am I watching? I'm not watching. Oh, I'm watching this stupid show on Netflix. Paradise PD. It's animated. It's nonsense. It's absolute rubbish, but I can't stop watching it. So that's why I'm.
Okay, thank you, Kemi. Sam, over to you.
Well, I just saw two movies this week. The rubbish excuse of a movie called Suicide Squad, and then I saw The Hitman's. I hate the movie. I thought it was a waste of
time. Do you like The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard?
Do I like?
Yeah,
one?
I saw the movie too this week. I
like
it.
That one?
Yeah, I did.
Your taste?
Yes.
That was a horrible movie. Like, I walked out of the cinema.
No.
I couldn't even watch it.
No, I didn't. No. So, there are some movies you don't see at the cinema. So, yeah. So, I downloaded this and then I saw it.
Do you know that meme of our expectations for you were low, but wow. That's the smart voice for the guy.
Wow.
Is that bad?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh
my God. She's come for the neck of that movie. Ryan Reynolds in the mud, guys.
I
swear.
You don't know how
my guy is in the mud.
I love Ryan
Reynolds. My guy, Samuel L. Jackson, after he shouted motherfucker several times, you still don't like that movie. God.
You made it. You almost made it to an episode without swearing.
The thing is, I think they overdid it. Too many unnecessary cars. What was
Morgan Freeman there for? Why? Why was it?
What was it doing? The villain story is stupid. Was just stupid.
Sorry.
She wants to be a mom. She has a mom. It's a rest of the movie. That's all I'm saying.
All right, sorry. Sam, let's hear your recommendations to the end. So, outside right, so, Suicide Squad, what else?
Yeah, I speak for myself and the producer when I say that I have been listening to Donda today.
Donda.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think that's about it for me. Read anything? Nope, as usual. Gone back to my old ways. I've not written anything. The old ways are usually the best ways.
Okay. Congratulations. Congratulations, Mr. Culture Custodian. I, on the other hand, finally got to see The Green Knight, which was an amazing movie. Oh my God. Like, I don't even know where to start from. It was really, really beautiful. I feel like it's probably the best thing I've seen this year in terms of movies.
Was there a lot of
course? No, it's a
period
movie.
It's like medieval.
Exactly. So I don't know.
A lot of swords. Was there a lot of killing?
No.
Yeah, I won't like it.
Yes, clearly. Clearly, you won't like it. In between, of course, I've seen the episodes of What If as well as Ted Lasso. And C returned yesterday. So I started watching that. That's really, really, really happy. I'm really happy.
Jason Moore. My movie! Have they chopped anybody's head off already?
No, sir. At least from what I've seen so far, no, nobody's head has been chopped.
No violence. What I'm listening, any extreme violence. No.
So I'm just going to start. So I also started listening to Donda, but it's too long. So I said, you know what, I shelved it. Instead, I've been binging on this new podcast I discovered. It's called Pod Save the World. Really, really amazing podcast. It talks about geopolitics in a beautiful way. And it's very nuanced. They're not telling lies. They're not trying to take anybody's side. They just break it down. Look, this is where XYZ country messed up. This is what needs to be done. So I enjoy that podcast. It's also been in rotation alongside a few playlists that Spotify has been throwing my way. I'm really grateful for Spotify. I can't even lie to you guys. Spotify has been amazing. If you get the chance, go and listen to some guy called Rhythm 7. He has a new EP called The Purple EP. Really, really good, you know, feel-good Nigerian-type Afrobeats music. What have I been reading? Oh, I've been reading a lot of stuff around Afghanistan still. I think the last thing I read that was really interesting was this conversation around whether or not, you know, social media companies should cut off the Taliban from their networks and what it would mean in terms of recognition or giving them a voice or, you know, keeping up with their voices. And that's pretty much what I read. I think what we'll do is we'll try and get a link from everyone. Everyone means myself and Kemi for the stuff we read and put them in the description. Do not forget our Fantasy League link will also be there for you guys to join. You can win great prizes at the end of the season. Do not forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends as well. Give us a rating if you wish, please. We'll appreciate it. I think that helps other people discover the podcast. Join us next time when we come back with much more bants conversation. We are going to host a couple of spaces between now and that time. Yeah, you can, Kemi.
Okay. There's something I plan to read after we're done with this podcast. It's not an advertisement. It's a newsletter.
Oh, not a deep newsletter. Dive.
Not a deep dive. It's okay. A newsletter. And today's story is, you know, it talks about business and, you know, the important things you all millennials and Gen Zs should know about business okay. and everything happening in Nigeria. So the newsletter comes out Friday and Sunday, so I'm going to read that one today. I also think everybody should read it. You should know how much deep shit we're in as a country. I think so.
Nice. I think you should reach out to us, whoever has that. See, we'll just put you on. Kemi has come on the podcast and put you on. And you know that whatever Kemi recommends, we're going to listen to, guys. So have a fantastic time. Like we always like to say, I think we'll put a link in the description. Like we always like to say, please remember to subscribe and share. Also connect with us on social media. We're at the IWB podcast on literally every platform, social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And then send us an email, theiwbpodcast@gmail.com. Till we hit you guys up again, it's bye from me and stay jiggy. Bye, guys.